The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
So each week over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a different person in the life of Jesus. In that last week or so before his crucifixion, and for some of them on the time of the resurrection. And over the last few weeks, I haven't told you in advance who it's going to be, and so I keep getting these questions: who is it this week? So the clues. Well, actually, it's not one, it's two, we think. I'll explain more about that in a moment. These two people have an incredible devotion to Jesus. Their devotion is quite profound, and the stories are told again and again and again. And they have the same name. I'm talking about Mary of Bethany and Mary of Magdala. And as I said, there's actually debate as to whether this is one person or two people. And that debate goes back to Pope Gregory in 591, who declared that these two are actually the same person. And so that belief is continued on in the Catholic faith, whereas in the Orthodox Church and in the Protestant churches, they believe that there is Mary of Bethany and Mary of Magdala, who we better know as Mary Magdalene. So we're not going to enter into that debate. We could have a whole discussion around that, but that's not the point. The thing is, we want to learn from these remarkable women called Mary and discover their journey with Jesus towards the cross, and certainly for Mary Magdalene, her journey of discovery of the risen Christ. So this morning, we're going to start with Mary of Bethany. And Bethany is a small village. It's about 3 kilometres outside Jerusalem. And it was there that Mary lived together with her sister Martha and brother Lazarus. And we read from Luke chapter 10, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And many of you might have heard messages around this story of Martha, who was a great hostess and was busy in the kitchen preparing the meals and then coming and serving the meals, and her frustration with her sister Mary, who just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. And when Martha complained to Jesus, Jesus responded with, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the first time we meet Mary, and she is seated at the feet of Jesus in the same way as a disciple would be, sitting, listening, wanting to come to know Jesus and wanting to learn from him and hear what it is that he is teaching. Then we come to our next meeting between Mary and Jesus, and it's a time when her brother Lazarus has died. And Jesus has just been meeting with Martha. They've had a conversation. At the end of that conversation, Martha goes away to get Mary, and Mary comes running out to meet Jesus. And it says this, that when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. There's a level of faith and trust that Mary of Bethany could come out and say, Jesus, I know you're one who can bring healing. And I know that if you were here, my brother would not have died, because you'd have spoken the word and he would have become well again. But you're too late. And so she comes with her grief to the feet of Jesus. But it's not too late, because on this occasion, Jesus is demonstrating his power over death, and he calls Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus rises up from death to life and walks out. And Mary is incredibly thankful. So thankful that the next time Jesus is coming back towards Jerusalem, in fact, it's fairly close to the Passover, and this would actually be Jesus' final Passover, and as he comes back through town, Mary and Martha decide they want to have a dinner, especially to honour him and probably to say thank you for what you've done in raising Lazarus from the dead. And so in John chapter 12, we read this story. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with them. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is the third time we encounter Mary meeting with Jesus. And have you noticed that each time she's at his feet? Each time she has come and she is at the feet. And this time Judas complains. And Jesus goes, that's an extravagant waste of money. That's a year's worth of wages. You know, they could have been better used. And we looked at that, the words that he spoke when we looked at Judas a number of weeks ago. But Jesus responded, leave her alone. It was intended she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you'll not always have me. That shows us that Mary of Bethany was the first person to publicly acknowledge that Jesus was about to die. Through her actions of pouring the perfume on the feet of Jesus and anointing his feet, and Jesus responding that she's doing this to prepare my body for burial, that she is declaring that she has a sense of devotion, of love, of thankfulness for what he has done in raising her brother from the dead, but also in understanding of what is coming up for Jesus. That he would die a sacrificial death for all of humanity. That he would deal with sin, and she already knew that he could deal with death, because he'd demonstrated that with her own brother. And so in this devotion she has to Jesus, she anoints his feet. And then Jesus says this, truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told, also be told in memory of her. Wherever the good news of Jesus is preached, anywhere in the world, the story of what Mary has done will be told again and again and again. Her love, her faithfulness. And so as we reflect on Mary and the fact that each time we meet her, she is at the feet of Jesus. And the first time she's there as a student, as a disciple, she wants to learn. She's listening to Jesus and saying, I want to get to know you better. I want to know what it is that you are teaching. And so it makes us stop and reflect. When was the last time that you humbly came and just sat with Jesus, where the position of your heart and your mind was one of humility, where you just want to sit in the midst of all the busyness of life, because there's all this busyness happening around Mary with Martha running back and forward and having a meal and guests in the home, and she just stops. When was the last time you stopped and take time or took time just to sit with Jesus and listen? To listen to what he has to say in your situation. To learn from him. That might be at sometimes learning through reading the Word, through reading the Bible. At times it's learning through listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. Sometimes we just need to stop and listen. The second time we see Mary coming to the feet of Jesus is in mourning. She's weeping. Her brother Lazarus has died. And she comes just to pour out her grief before him. At this stage, she doesn't know that there's a miracle that's going to happen. She's in grief. When was the last time that you came to Jesus and just poured out your grief? And many people carry grief from unresolved issues, from hurt, from pain, some dating back a long time, some from the last week. And Jesus says, you can come to my feet and just tell me about it. The thing is, you don't know how he might respond. but you just choose to come to him. And thirdly, Mary comes and she anoints Jesus' feet, and there's this revelation of what's going to happen, of his impending crucifixion. And she's doing this also in thankfulness. When was the last time you came to the feet of Jesus in just thankfulness for what he's done for you? For how much he loves you, for who you are. To worship him. And in Mary's case, there's a whole lot that happens in that moment. There's a financial cost to what she does. She worships him with a financial sacrifice, a year's worth of wages. She worships him at his feet, pouring out perfume, and others in the room went, what is she doing? And there's this sense of, what does unabandoned worship look like? What does it look like for you to come to worship him and give of the very essence of who you are to him? So what does living like a Mary of Bethany look like in your situation, in your life? How would you do that? That's Mary of Bethany. We're going to move from Bethany, which, as I said, was near Jerusalem. We're going to move 185 kilometres north up to Galilee to a fishing village on the west coast of the lake or sea of Galilee. And the village is called Magdala. And that's where Mary Magdalene lived. And in Luke chapter 8, we discover that Jesus has been travelling around Galilee, which is the area close to where he was raised as a young boy, and close to where 11 of 12 of his disciples came from. And they were ministering in that area. And in Luke chapter 8, it says this: after this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This is the only time that we hear about Mary Magdalene in any of the Gospels until the crucifixion scene. So this is the one insight we get as to who Mary Magdalene was and a little bit about her. And in this passage, we learn two important things. The first is that Mary Magdalene had had a demonic influence in her life, whether it was demonic oppression or some other form of demonic influences, but they had had obviously a very negative effect upon her life, and Jesus had brought healing by dealing with those demonic influences. She had been from heavily influenced by these in some way to suddenly freedom in Christ. And so there's this aspect of, no doubt, thankfulness in her for what Jesus has done in her life. The second thing we learn about Mary Magdalene is that she is one of a group of women from that region, from Galilee, that travelled with Jesus and supported his ministry. And they weren't just roadies. They weren't just hanger-onerers that just travelled with them. These were people who were actively engaged. They had bought into the ministry of Jesus because it says that they were helping to support them out of their own means, out of their own finances, out of their own resources. They were contributing into the ministry of Jesus. They were sincerely committed to serving him. Now, these women didn't just minister in the area of Galilee. As Jesus travelled south down to Jerusalem, they came with him. In fact, in Luke 23, verse 49, we read this: but all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. What is it they're watching? They're watching the crucifixion. This group of women had travelled from Galilee to Jerusalem Now, it's not exactly clear why they had done that. We don't know if they came primarily because it was the Passover and Jewish people were encouraged to come down to Jerusalem for the Passover. We don't know if they came because they just continued to always travel as part of the Jesus entourage, or whether they came specifically this time because they knew something was about to happen to Jesus. Whatever reason it was, there was a number of women who were named as being with Jesus now at the foot of the cross. And as we read through the four Gospels, we discover that Mary Magdalene was there. We know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. We know Mary's sister was there. We know that the mother of James and John were there. There's a number of others who are also specifically named, and then it says, and others. So we know there's a group of women who are there. As we read through the four Gospels, only one person is named in all four Gospels at being at the foot of the cross, and that's Mary Magdalene. And one of the things that we see here is that this group of women are standing there seeing the one they love, seeing the one who's brought healing into their lives, seeing one who's brought healing into the lives of many others, those that they had financially supported out of their own means, and they see Jesus dying on the cross. And when Jesus is dead, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take Jesus' body down from the cross, and they take him to a tomb that Joseph owns, and they lay him in that tomb. In Luke 23, it says this: the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. In both Matthew and Mark's gospel, it specifically names that Mary Magdalene was one of those women that followed Joseph and Nicodemus to lay Jesus' body in the tomb. So we know that Mary Magdalene was there, and she was there to see how Jesus' body was laid, to see where he was laid. This was the level of devotion, of faithfulness that these women had to Jesus. They stood there at the cross, that the Roman soldiers are standing around the cross, but despite that, they come and want to be there at the cross, as painful as it was to see their beloved Jesus die. They went with his body through to the tomb and saw how his body was laid. They saw him buried and the stone rolled across, and they wanted to pay their respects. They wanted to honour him with a proper burial. They wanted to anoint his body properly. No doubt they were thankful for the fact that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken his body and placed it in the tomb, that Nicodemus had bought a large volume of spices and had already used that to anoint him. But it had been hurried, because you see, there wasn't much time between when they took his body off the cross and the Sabbath at sundown. It was when the Sabbath started. So they had to be very quick in the way that they anointed the body. And so the women, well, the men had done their job. It was time for the women to come and do it properly, right? And so the women had seen how Jesus' body was laid. They went home and they prepared their spices and their perfumes. And then it was Sabbath, and so they'd had to wait till the Sabbath was over. But they were coming back. They were waiting for the Sunday morning when the Sabbath was over. And as the morning dawned, they were on their way to the tomb. It says this in Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. So as they went, they were going with the mindset that things were going to be as they'd left it. There might now be a guard in place because Pilate had allowed a guard to be placed around the tomb, but otherwise they were assuming that things were exactly as they'd left it on the Friday. And they had this conversation, well, who's going to shift the stone? Well, not I, says one. I'm not big enough and strong enough, and not I, says another. And so they're trying to work out, well, who's going to shift this stone? And isn't that just like us sometimes? That we've heard God is good, and that God wants to do good things in your life, that God loves you and God's good. God has got good plans for your life, and yet we are focused on the obstacle. We're focused on the things that we see that are going to stop us from experiencing what God wants to do. And we come with this expectation that things are always how they've been. That's my destiny. That's who I am. I live out of the way that I used to live. I live out of the experiences of my past, the way I left it a few days earlier. And sometimes we struggle to think that God might want to do something different and better. And so these women are coming to do a good thing. They're coming to honour Jesus, to anoint his body, and they're coming with the concept that they're going to find his body. And yet they anticipate the obstacle rather than remember that he had said, I will die, and 3 days later rise again. And sometimes we do need to walk with that expectation of, yes, there could be obstacles, and I have a plan on how I'm going to deal with it. But on the other hand, sometimes we allow that mindset to so dominate our thinking that we're not open to what God might do. And we need to be open to the fact that, yes, this is how it is, but God still is God, and he loves me, and he may just do something far greater. You know, as we look at the story of Mary Magdalene, we see that apart from that one little cameo earlier on when we learned a little bit about her, she does not appear in the Gospels at all until the crucifixion scene. And suddenly she's there at the cross, and her name just keeps popping up now. In these couple of chapters at the end of each Gospel, her name's just there again and again. Her name is the only one that is mentioned in all four Gospels at having been present at the cross. Her name is the only one that is mentioned as going to the tomb to see where his body was laid on the Friday. And now her name is the only one that is named across all four of the Gospels as going to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. As we read other Gospels, we see that there were others that may have accompanied them. But in John's Gospel, he only says Mary Magdalene. Why? Well, it might be that there were others present as well. But one of the things we've been learning about John's Gospel is it's a relational Gospel. He wants us to actually get to know people. That's why, as we've been looking at these various people of the cross over these last weeks, we've seen that John and Peter and Thomas. See, in the other Gospels, Thomas only gets a mention once, and that's in the list of disciples. And yet John wants us to get to know him. Likewise with Pilate. John tells us so much more about their encounters. And the same is true with Mary. He's using, often telling us detail of just one person in order that we may get to know them, not for the sake of academic understanding, not just for the sake of history, but that we might learn from them. What is it that they did, and what is it that they experienced or they were thinking that we might relate to and understand, and in turn then learn from and do in our lives. And so in John's Gospel, he really wants us to see the incredible devotion and faithfulness of Mary Magdalene to Jesus and the reward that comes from that faithfulness and devotion. So let's read from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So here we see that Mary leaves early in the morning. It's still dark. That may be an indication of time of day, but scholars also think that this is John's way of helping us to imagine that Mary is in the dark, figuratively speaking. She doesn't have a clue about what's going to happen. And so she arrives and she sees the stone has been rolled away, and it doesn't tell us anything about what she did in response to that in terms of did she look in or what. It simply says that she then went and got Simon, Peter and John and told them, and then they came running to the tomb. See, it doesn't tell us if she was trying to work out, well, what happened here. She assumes that someone has stolen the body. She doesn't know if it's the Jewish leaders have come and stolen it. She doesn't know if Roman soldiers have come and stolen it. She doesn't know if the fact that there was a sign that on the cross that said the King of the Jews, that someone had gone, oh, a king's been buried, and grave robbers had come to the grave of the king. Whatever reason it was, she assumes that the body has been taken. But notice, she still calls him Lord. He might have been crucified, he might have died, but he is still her Lord. She has not compromised her faith. She hasn't understood what has happened yet, but Jesus is still Lord. And so Peter and John arrive, as we've looked at in previous weeks. Peter goes into the tomb, and it says that he left wondering. Subsequently, John went into the tomb, and we don't know what he saw. But what he did write is that he saw and believed. Why is it that he doesn't tell us what he saw? If it was enough to convince him to believe, John is very humble. And when he writes this gospel, he doesn't even name himself. He always refers to himself as the other disciple or the disciple whom Jesus loved. When his own mum's in the story, he doesn't say, my mum. He talks about her as the wife of Zebedee or the mother of James and John. He's always deflecting the attention away from him towards someone else. And so this time, instead of saying, well, this is what I saw and this is what made me believe, it simply says he saw and believed. Why? Because the focus of this story is on Mary Magdalene. He wants us to get to know Mary and understand what she saw and experienced. And so it simply says that he left. He saw, believed, and he left. So our focus is on Mary. And what was Mary doing? She was weeping. She still did not know what had happened to Jesus' body. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They ask her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. This is amazing. Mary just saw angels in the tomb. And yet in her anguish, she did not realize that they were angels. She'd just seen Jesus. And yet in her grief and despair, she didn't recognize him either. You'd think the clues would be adding up by now. You know, stone's been rolled away. Just seen angels. Just seen Jesus. Ah, it all fits together. That wasn't the case. Why? Because her mindset was still one of, he died, his body's been stolen. She's still not yet grasping what God is doing and has done in this situation. And it's just like us. There are times when we see what Jesus is doing or what he has done and we don't recognize him. And we don't see what he is doing in our lives. Why? Because sometimes we've got a mindset that says, this is how things were on Friday. I'm not expecting anything different. without realising that we've actually had encounters with Jesus over these last days, and it's now Sunday and he's done something amazing. Sometimes we are distressed or we're in grief, and because of that, our mindset is simply one of being in that place of grief, and we don't see things that we would normally otherwise see. And it's possible sometimes that Jesus is doing stuff and we're missing it. But then Jesus spoke. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. I'd have loved to know how Jesus did that. Did he go, "Mary? Mary?" How did he? Well, it doesn't matter how he said it. Suddenly she knew this was Jesus. He knew her. He called her by name. And suddenly all the doubt and fear and grief is gone. And this is Jesus. And she acknowledges him, "Rabboni, my teacher." And she worships him. You see, all her vigilance, all of her devotion, that she was the one who'd been there at the foot of the cross. Her devotion in going to the tomb on the Friday afternoon. Her devotion that she had prepared spices and perfumes, and that she'd been up at the crack of dawn, and that she'd come to the tomb ready to anoint his body. Her devotion was rewarded with being the very first person to see the risen Lord. Not just the first person to see the risen Lord, the first person to receive a commission to go and tell that Jesus had risen. She is the first one who is told that Christ, to go and tell others that Christ has risen. And so Jesus says to her, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So her devotion is rewarded by being commissioned to go and tell the good news of what has just happened. And she goes. But not only that, she hears this other message that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. She goes, "I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter of the Father." And she's told to go and tell others who will also believe that Christ is risen, that they too can become sons and daughters of the Father. That they become part of the children of God when they also believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. How good is that? And this is the opportunity that Mary has. And she goes and she says to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I've seen him." Incredible. You know, Mary is an incredible model of devotion for us to consider. Because we too can come to Jesus. And we too sometimes come expecting that things might not change in our lives from the way that we thought they'd be. That's our lot and that's the way it is. And Mary came expecting that Jesus would be dead. She came expecting to anoint his dead body. But sometimes things turn out very differently to what we expect. And sometimes there are signs that God's at work and we don't recognise the signs. Just as Mary didn't recognise the stone had been rolled away and what that might mean. Or that she'd seen angels and didn't talk to angels and what that might mean. Or that she'd actually talked to Jesus. There might be signs for us that an obstacle in our life has shifted. Or that we have met someone who is speaking God's wisdom into our life, into our situation, and we don't hear it. Or sometimes it's the Holy Spirit challenging us with a new insight or an understanding or a revelation. Maybe you're even meeting with Jesus in some way and not even yet knowing it. And then suddenly you recognise Jesus' work in your life. Maybe you recognise Jesus himself in some way. And the question there is, how do you respond? How do you respond to Jesus? Will you worship him? Will you come to that revelation that he is the risen Lord? That when you come to that, will you come to that place of going, I am his son or I am his daughter? I'm part of the family of God. And will you go and tell others that Christ is risen? Each of us have to relate to a different part of this story because of where we're at in our lives. But take some time now to stop and reflect. Which part of Mary of Bethany's life do you respond to? Which part of Mary Magdalene's life do you respond to? And what is God saying to you about that right now? Let's take some time to just be quiet and reflect on that. And as you reflect on what you feel that the Lord is saying to you, then reflect on what will I do with that? Is there an obstacle that you've just identified? Is there grief that you need to pour out to Jesus? Is there joy because you have seen God at work and you want to go and tell others about that? What is it that you will do in response to what you've just been hearing? Father God, thank you for these beautiful women. Thank you for their lives of faithfulness, of the way that they gave of themselves, whether that was Mary of Bethany, a year's worth of wages in that nard that she pours out on the feet of Jesus, whether it's Mary Magdalene sowing into the ministry of Jesus out of her own means. Father God, thank you for these women who, like Mary Magdalene, who just want to be with Jesus in the most difficult times. And then also in the greatest times of celebration of resurrection joy. Father God, thank you that as we reflect on these amazing women, help us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Show us, Lord, the things that you want us to take hold of from their lives, from their journey, from their struggles. And there's a whole spectrum of people here, from those who are in grief, as Mary of Bethany was when she came to the feet of Jesus, as Mary Magdalene was as she approached the tomb, carrying the spices and perfumes to anoint the body. There are others here who are struggling with the obstacles that they don't know how to deal with. There are others here who are having encounters with Jesus, and some who are knowing that they're God encounters and some that haven't yet. But I pray, Father God, that you'll break through and reveal yourself, and that in every situation, our response in the grief and in the joy will be to worship you. And not just to worship and bring glory and honour to you, but in response, be obedient as Mary Magdalene was when Jesus said, go and tell, that she went to the disciples and told them. And what they do with that is what they do with that. But what she did was be obedient. Help us to likewise just do the things that Jesus calls us to do. So that, Lord, we would be light and salt. That we would be the sons and daughters of God the Father. And we would reveal that through our words and through our actions, through the way we live our lives. We'd reveal that to the wider community. And so, Father God, as we wrap up, I pray that you would bless each and every one here and online. that, Lord, you'd bless each one to be the people of God you're calling them to be, to live as you call them to live, to walk in your ways according, Lord, to what Scripture teaches us, according to the way the Holy Spirit leads us, so that, Lord, we would indeed be a blessing to all around us and reveal the truth of the risen Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.